red light. Oh, there it is. All right. Next, just for the people watching at home or on video, can we have roll call, please?
Director Muthart.
Present.
Director Ohilski. Director Storm.
Present.
Vice President Wright.
Here.
President Baltimore.
Here.
Thank you.
All right. With that, can we have a report out of closed session?
Yes. President Baltimore, members of the board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. in regards to two separate items. One, existing litigation under Government Code Section 54956.9D1. The board discussed the groundwater adjudication, present status, and the bankruptcy. They took no reportable action on either item. Second, the board went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 regarding real property negotiations. The negotiating party is Verizon Communications. The agency negotiators are identified as Kathy Kibley and myself. The board did hear a report but took no reportable action. And that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you. With that, I'd like to...
How about May 20?
With that... I'd like to move to item 7, which is presentations and public hearings. And the first is item 7A, and it's the administration of the firefighters' oath. Can have a report reading of it from the general manager?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and... President Baltimore and members of the board, this evening you're going to be conducting a firefighter's oath for our reserve firefighters from South Bay Station 15. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our chief, Phil Vanaris.
Spent some time with the Forest Service. We're very happy to have him aboard. Good stout guy with some wildland experience. Tim next to him is in his third year at Cal Poly. He's an EMT. He's worked really hard to get here, and we're very happy to have Tim with us. And then Connor here is in his second year at Cal Poly. So they're all very well educated, but they're also very well fit, and they're exceeded very well in all of their equipment or all of their gear inspections. So we're glad to have them here. So there you go.
All right. Thank you. And it's my honor to administer the oath of office. What I'm going to do is it's just going to start off with I state your name and what time you'd state your name. And then I'm going to read the oath. And at the end, if you do swear, then you say I do. And if you don't... So with that, the oath of office.
Raise your right hand.
So raise your right hand. And I state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter. Very good. Congratulations.
So I'd like to invite up Lydia, Mike, and Captain Colwell to do the pinning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Turn off the phone. That is definitely one of the fun things to do as president. So, welcome aboard, gentlemen. All right, so item 7B is a public hearing. And with that, can I have the reading of the item?
The item before you this evening is adoption of the proposed budget. And Mr. President, members of the board, it is my privilege to present to you the proposed fiscal year budget for 2014-2015. The budget before you contains a lot of information, and there are some additional items that we staff has provided tonight. At the request of the FAC, which we met with them on Monday, they requested that we present to you the reserve information. That information is before you this evening. Additionally, when we prepared the budget, the drainage fund, there was just a small amount of information that was put under the budget summary. That is included this evening with additional information so that you can see the type of work that staff does under that fund. That is here also. In addition, they're on the back counter also, the unrestricted reserves. There is information here because there was, unfortunately, there was a slight error on that. More of a typo than an error, and we have corrected that, and that information is also included in the budget for this evening. And finally, what was not in...
Review the budget on Monday, and our committee report would come out after this item, that I think it's appropriate as part of our discussion now to bring that out, because Mike and I, there was a motion, and so Mike and I can talk about that, but just as you figure out how we're going to talk about it, I'd like to see those comments come out.
I think that maybe that's a good starting point. Would you like to just start there?
I guess I could.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. So let's hear the recommendations from the FAC.
Michael and I were both at the Financial Advisory Committee. Michael, unfortunately, had to leave a little bit early, but we did go through, and just to give a little history of what happened in the past, at our last meeting, the Financial Advisory Committee did have some questions and comments that they wanted to have addressed, and those were addressed by the general manager and the accountants. At the Financial Advisory Committee. As you know, we considered the budget at our last board meeting, so those revisions went into the budget that the Financial Advisory Committee looked at. So the budget, and the general manager already talked about a couple of the things they asked, but let me just go through what their recommendation was at this point, and then Michael, if you can add on to this. I'm just going to go. There was two motions made by the committee or committee members. The first motion was to go ahead and adopt an interim budget with provisions or qualifications, and that recommendation died for a lack of a second. There was then a motion that was adopted unanimously, which, and I'll go through and read the points, and we can discuss this in more detail because to answer questions, because Michael and I were both there, but there was the motion was that the board adopt a balanced budget for fiscal year 2014 and 2015. So that was the primary consideration, that the budget be balanced. And then there was some issues that were raised that needed to be considered or discussed during the budget hearing. And the first one, and these are in no order of priority, they're in the order that they came up during The motion. But the first one was to establish a policy regarding the solid waste reserves, because the solid waste fund is still there, the reserve funds are still there. We don't have a solid waste operation at this point, and there was some discussions that when those solid waste reserves were established, that there was criteria for the expenditures of those reserves. Now, quite frankly, that predates my time, so I don't know, but that's what it was. And as a follow-up to that, there was a consideration, or we all know Vista de Oro Septic District is going to run a shortfall because they didn't pass their assessment last year. So the consideration was raised that maybe in the interim that we loan the money from the solid waste reserves to Vista de Oro for operational aspects until that project is taken over by the county. So it was the solid waste reserves, whether there was restrictions on those, and secondly, if we did need a fund to borrow money for Vista de Oro operations from, that would be the appropriate fund. Secondly, there was a question about the staffing, and I see we have FTE report today that adds to that. But the question basically became, there was an additional 2.5 FTEs that were added to the budget because of water employees. So the question was basically, why do we need that increased staff in the water department, and why do we need to add FTEs of 2.5 FTEs? So that again was a question that the Financial Advisory Committee would like to see addressed. Then regarding the wastewater fund, and the question is why that fund still exists since we don't have wastewater operations. We understand, or the committee understands, that there is that payment of $25,000 a year until that is made up, but can that not just be basically run straight through and we not have the wastewater fund anymore at this point? And then the next item was to provide reserve amounts for all funds, and I see we have that information as the general manager pointed out. There was also the question of a review of administrative allocations from the various funds to the administration, and Michael was there to discuss just basically what, I guess, the subcommittee or ad hoc committee of Craig and Michael came up with as far as the allocation program. But there would be the committee would like to see that item addressed, because, for example, and this was the one that was included in the motion, there's the administrative allocation from solid waste, but yet we don't. So the question was, what is actually the realization of that rate increase? And that would be also helpful as we look forward to additional rate increases in the future, as to see what our actual net realization would be from, or we would obtain from, the increase. There was also a concern raised, or a question raised about, and I believe it's, we have $90,000 in water conservation reserves and we haven't spent that, and why that money's just sitting there, that either we should, and this is, it should either be gotten taken away or should be spending it, because just putting money into a water conservation reserve fund without actually expending it on water conservation seems to be pointless. Then there was a comment that maybe we could use volunteers to staff the front desk, that there are various agencies such as the senior citizens, and I forget the name of it, but it's like SCORE, where there's senior citizens that are available to staff the front desk. So that was raised as a possibility to reduce staffing cost. And then the last item that I have on my list was that we need to go back and revisit the financing authority that we created that we didn't follow through with for a number of reasons. But maybe it's time to go ahead and revisit that and actually look at the refinancing of the bond assessments to see if that money could be used, not necessarily in the current budget, but used more productively to get rid of some of the bond repayment costs or other allocations. So those are the items I have. I don't know, Michael, if you have some additional ones.
No, not really, because it's a really good summary that we have here. I think the bottom line is the request to have a balanced budget. And we know fire is balanced, but water under this proposed budget is not. And I had a question for staff, because I know Vista de Oro is not in balance, but I thought Bay Ridge was, and but it's, am I reading it wrong that it's not balanced?
Could you give, do you have the page?
Well, I got, page 5. Well, it's Fund 200, page 5.
Okay, so Fund 200, page 5, or page?
Well, page, it's Fund 200, Bay Ridge.
Oh.
You're too far.
Two parts, yeah. Oh, it's this beginning.
Yeah.
Part one of part two.
Yeah. You're looking at the statement of revenues and expenditures, and at this, and it for 2013-2014 it is balanced, but for 2014-2015 it is not.
Okay.
So we are talking about the budget for. I'm sorry,
right.
I interrupted you.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, the request was the balance. So how's that balancing?
It is not. However, I'm going to tell you that what has actually thrown it out is the part that we have budgeted for capital projects, and we had to put that money in there again this next year. Now we can go through and reduce the cost, except this is what it takes to operate this particular program.
Okay. Just so that everybody's clear, so what is being talked about in the Fund 200, Bay Ridge Estates, is that it's showing, this for my clarity also, it's showing revenues and budget equity of $61,562, but then showing a total expenditures of $66,339.
That is correct.
Okay, so approximately that's about a $5,000 difference.
Correct.
Okay.
47.77.
That's approximately. So then the question is, what do we want to do as a board? Okay.
True.
And so, as a board, you know, the question might be, what is the rationale, or what is the accounting stance to have a budget that's not balanced? And or do we as a board want to go through right now and balance that budget?
Well, my preference is that we balance it now. And like, for example, staff was talking about Fund 6800 and 6900, the maintenance and repair, ground collection systems and infrastructure. We have $11,000, $8,000 respectively in those funds, and you can reduce those.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's, before we start working on this.
For example, Vista Oro, we can't balance that,
okay.
So I understand that one.
Yeah.
But so I'd leave that out as an exception.
Again, I'm going slow, mainly for the people watching.
Sure.
And so Fund 100 is balanced, correct?
Well, that's admin.
Well,
that's admin draw.
Right.
So it balances,
balanced
by nature.
By default, yeah.
But it's balanced. Okay. So we won't be addressing Fund 100. Fund 200
is not.
Is not. Okay. And so Fund 300?
Fire is balanced.
Fire is balanced. All right. Fund is Vista de Oro. We know that that's not balanced.
We know that's not balanced.
And that's, right. Fund 500 is water.
That is not balanced.
It is not balanced. So we have 200, which is Bay Ridge, and 500, which is water. And then Fund 550, nitrate removal.
That's a grant.
That's a grant. Okay.
No issue there.
Right. And then Fund 600, wastewater.
That's technically out of balance.
Is there anything for us to do there? That's the question I'm asking myself.
The only thing you could do is reduce admin allocation.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll put that on there. So we got 200, 500, and 600. and then 650 is solid waste. And
650.
Yeah, we have no income.
We have no income.
So is there any work to do there, though, is my question.
No.
Okay, and then, excuse me, fund 800 is drainage.
That's positive. Revenues are greater than expenses.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Is there does that mean the additional goes into reserves, or is there something that we want to change?
You actually have money going into reserves. However, you can increase that reserve amount if that's what you choose to do.
All right. So I'll monitor that, see how the time goes. And then 900 is parks and recs, and that's balanced. So did I get this right? We're going to look at fund 200, 500, and 600 in detail to get it balanced.
Correct.
Okay, just giving my directors a chance to... All right, so that just gives a little to-do item here, and so the public will kind of know the direction that we're going. Do we have any questions or clarifications from the board on what Director Olhilski brought forward from the FAC?
No,
we're not going to discuss them, just any...
No, I agree. Before I left, that's the direction they were going.
Okay.
So I confirm.
Mm-hmm. No? I know you don't. I'm just... before I go to open the hearing, I just want to get as much as I can out there.
I just have one request, if possible. I don't know. Can we get more light?
Yeah, that actually, I thought that was a little deficient.
I don't know if there's any way we can do that. Yeah, we're looking at numbers here. I'm already going a little dizzy.
All right, while they look into that, do we have any other? So we started the clarifications and questions with the reading of FAC. Are there any other things that need to be asked for the budget before we open up public hearing?
I just do have a question. Did either of the other committees look at the budget at all? I don't know the answer to that. So.
Well, fire did, yeah. We a balance in fire, so that's a done deal.
UAC did not look at the budget, per se. No.
Okay. So with that, it looks like we're about ready to open up the public hearing. Just making sure my directors are okay.
What's the format?
And so let me get back to my agenda. All right, so at this time, I would like to open up the public hearing. what time do we have? I like... let's see. Looks pretty good. Let's go with 4 minutes for each speaker and see how it goes. And this is the budget, and I know the FAC had a chance to look at it, so let's just see how it goes with the 4 minutes. And please keep your comments to the budget.
Percentage of what's being saved. You can't kind of figure it off of gallons because some homes... it'll just bump their tier or reduce their tier. When we talk about that, and Marshall, you mentioned that people are letting lawns die, et cetera, it begs the question, why are we pursuing an outdoor conservation plan? And if there is $90,000 for conservation, maybe we need to look at immediate infrastructure and a different allocation for those funds. When you talk about the finance authority, my concern is we've already spent quite a bit on pursuing the authority and pursuing a refi that didn't happen, and I would hate to see us embark on that expenditure again, failing to to realize anything from it, or even the reimbursement. We didn't even get reimbursed for Mr. Seitz's time on it, and the other staff, of course. And, you know, since 2006, all of our audits have said we had a going concern because of the bankruptcy. And it wasn't until just this last spring, with last year's audit, did an auditor say, no, we're okay, we're not, going concern was no longer in the verbiage. But clearly, there's a going concern. We are deficit spending, and some of the things that have happened in the last year, one being a full-time general manager versus a part-time general manager. We puffed up our staff instead of maintaining a staff. Some of us recall when it was the Baywood Water District, and there were 2.5 people there. 2.5 people, and a lady that came in twice a week to pick up the bills. The CSD is operating, it's too fat. And you either have to cut, costs, or you have to raise rates. And even if you do cut costs, you may have to raise rates. It's just a matter of how much. Something that your general manager didn't touch on was her staff note. And when she talks about, and I don't know if we're going to come back to these items, these long-term discussions related to the inter-fund loans, and I'd be curious, President Baltimore, if we can talk about that right now, or do you want to wait and come back? Because those are kind of a separate, larger issue that you should discuss. What do you say?
I'll answer that at the end.
At the end of?
Of all the comments.
So I have to...
Oh, I'll give a clarification at the end of your talk.
Will I get to come back and talk about it is my
no
question.
Just continue.
Well, that's very unfortunate because those are important items. And you're not going to resolve it today, so I'll just wait.
Thank you. Before the next speaker, so I'd like to clarify on the in the agenda is a memo to the board of directors from the general manager, and says subject agenda item 7B, right, of the board meeting today. And on that are a list of policy decisions that don't need to be considered, but these policies are what were used to develop this budget. And those in the future meetings, the board may want to review these policies. And part of those policies are inter-fund loans. So while those are not part of the discussion today, these policies were used to create the budget. And in future meetings, the board may elect to review these policies, such as an inter-fund loan. So no, specifically, not going to talk about that specific tonight, but to let it be known to the public that the board has the ability to review these policies at future meetings. With that, I'd like to have the next speaker. I don't see anybody wanting to speak, so should I close public hearing? Okay, again, I ask to help me, please, by having an idea of how many people are in the queue.
Just waiting for you to finish. Keith Swanson. I'm on the Finance Committee. We had concerns because, having a balanced budget and in doing my homework trying to identify it. Take a look at it. Maybe we need to reduce the admin. But the impact of doing that is that it reduces income to admin. So then you have to support admin somehow. And my concern was is that you don't want to rob your reserves to keep status quo. You need to make some decisions as far as staffing is concerned. One of the things you don't have in front of you is actually what the revenues are as to date for the water department, so that you can consider, or at least, you know, into the future. There was a water rate study that figured all this stuff out and anticipated 12% increase, possibly 7% as the realization net that you would have. So I don't think it's really underfunded, and I don't think there's, it's just that there are some, the water conservation budget is certainly something to address. The wastewater fund, since we're renaming funds, perhaps you could call it six whatever. It's really a pass-through account, but there's in this budget, there's $15,000 being drawn in admin. For what? $25,000 is coming in, it's going right back out. There really isn't anything for administration to do. In fact, I would suggest that you approach the bondholders and say, you know, we've got the Teeter plan in the county, we can forego, we've shown that we've had due diligence in paying this $25,000. There's still a reserve to be made up. However, you're guaranteed this money, so can you forgo this so that frees up $25,000? And that's just something that your management needs to do to see if that can happen. Solid waste admin draw, $46,000. For what? We're making no money off of solid waste now. We're just sitting on a reserve that we need to do something with. So with those two, you've got about $61,000 of admin that's no longer a draw, that's no longer going into admin. So where do you make that up? These are the decisions that you guys are going to have to make. And there was a discussion, and that's it, huh? Wow.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Wow.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I don't understand a lot of this budget because I'm not a numbers person, but the common sense to me is that you're taking a lot of admin out of non-existent funds now, and we operated for, I've forgotten, was it 7 months? We did quite well without a general manager. I think Margaret did a fabulous job, probably didn't appreciate it was all on her shoulders. But when we talked about how we were going to survive as a CSD, we talked about having a part-time manager. So I don't know where you thought that. I mean, did we have extra money that you all saw a big sunny cloud coming your way that would give us money to go ahead and splurge and go full-time and hire a desk person now? And at the same time, we cut the hours. We're not offering anything more. We're just spending a lot more on more admin. And I think you're going to have to go there to take a good look at where you can cut, because that always adds up. Our main responsibility is water now. And trying to get a budget, I have a hard time understanding why Ms. Kivley hasn't been able to do something with our budget in the 6 months she's had it in her hands. So please look at what our overhead is costing us. You're going to have to cut back on those employees or the salary.
All right, thank you.
Gretchen Clark, Los Osos. Part of the greater silent majority of our community who are working hard at keeping their families and children intact and don't have a whole lot of time to come out to public meetings. So first of all, I just want to thank you all for your public service. I really appreciate it. I have not looked at nor read the budget, so my comments are to be general, but my observations from looking at certain annotations on the Los Osos CSD website are that you have hired a very hard-working general manager, and we had a lot of stuff to clean up, and I appreciate what the board is doing. I appreciate that you are spending all of your time working.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And besides the one that I handed out, would all the directors turn to this in their packet? It was on the back table. It's the breakdown of the personnel. It's this one. Turn to fire. And before I get into that comment, this is the stack of everything that's been presented dealing with this budget since the beginning of the year. And I've read every page of it. And I'm telling you, compared to the last speaker, you're not anywhere close to adopting this as a final budget. Now, let's go into the fire fund. The one that was presented to you tonight, compared to the one that I gave you, this issue did come up at finance about the fund balance at the end of each fiscal year. If you start on the top of 13-14, your beginning fund balance, you run a surplus for the year, gives you a fund balance of $1,113,000. But of your expenses, you are funding $161,000, if you look up under reserves, for vehicle sinking fund and the other reserves this year. So that should have been added in to the $1,113,000 and carried forward. Instead, in this analysis, it was subtracted out starting this next fiscal year, which is your budget year. And at the bottom, again, you see your fund balance is $952,000. And you funded $86,100 of vehicle sinking reserves. How do you fund something out of your revenue, gentlemen, and your fund balance go down when you have a balanced budget 1 year and you ran a surplus the other? The sheet I gave you is what the fund balance should be. Fund balance. And the fund definition of fund balance is both restricted and unrestricted, gentlemen. The second column should be $1,360,377. We're not talking nickels and dimes here. We're talking the difference between those two numbers, the ones that was presented tonight, and the correct number of over $400,000 in fire department funds. And I ask you to ask Mr. Vinaris to come up and tell you which one he believes is closer to reality, or should be closer to reality. The fire chief's here. Ask him. Now, with respect to your reserves, because we're only getting 4 minutes, and, you know, all of a sudden we want to balance this budget. You had an opportunity on Monday, Marshall and Mike, to balance this budget. We asked for you to go through each fund. They were just as unbalanced on Monday as they are today. But under your reserve balances, this sheet, as of June 30th, 2014, under wastewater project, how do you have SRF funds of $1,407,000? I thought the creditors were all paid. That's all we heard. This was all done. You don't even have a category here for Bay Ridge. But in your fund balance analysis, Bay Ridge is starting this next fiscal year with a balance of 4,000 something, 4,003, whatever it is. Again, I'm not talking $100. And there should be more opportunity for public comment. As screwed up as this is, there should be multiple opportunities. That's how it used to be done.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I'm the one that you warned. You let a prior speaker speak on your behavior, not on the subject of the budget. That's bias on your part. That's bias on your part, and I don't appreciate it because we're supposed to be discussing the finances here. And the finances, since I've been here 1999, okay, have never been appropriated. They always borrowed money from other folks. For you to borrow from the water people's money, the money that was taken in by the water rates, and use it for something else. And so you still owe $600,000 or more of that money to be paid back. How are you going to do that? That, and you're saying you're not going to discuss that? That's part of the budget. So I'm a little at odds. I know you're an architect, and you're not probably a numbers guy, and I'm not a number guy either. But, you know, from what I've seen of the budget, what I've heard of the people at the advisory committee, this issue... First of all, you need to create a model for a balanced budget. You don't have that. The gentleman who talked today said that you were spending too much money on admin and you weren't getting enough money on your accounts receivable to balance the budget. So that means you have to raise the water rates because that's the only revenue that you have. And that's kind of a distasteful task. And unfortunately, because people are conserving water, your rates went down. And Mrs. Tacker alluded to that. So I wish you would explain to the audience how you can answer the questions that have been asked by the public on this, because you do not have a viable budget. Thank you. And you are warned.
Thank you. Seeing no more speakers, I'd like to close public hearing and bring it back to the board. With that, I'd like to open up the board discussion on the budget. We have, again, the three funds of 200, 500, and 600 that are not balanced. We can attack them individually, tackle them individually, or we can have a general discussion right now before we do that. Go ahead.
No, in the public comment, I think you need to add 650 to that, though, because you're taking an administrative allocation out of a fund that has no income.
Okay. With me, it helps.
Solid
for the people
waste.
At home,
solid waste.
Okay. So do you want to have a general discussion first, or you just want to get
Hold
down?
On. I wanted to just FAC chairs, were they comfortable with the amount of public comment that our committee member was able to give in terms of the number of, you know, the items that he was lifting, the suggestions and things? Is that something you guys...
Well, let me explain the process that we went through, okay? Mm-hmm. The last meeting the meeting before, the one on Monday, we went through the budget item by item by item, or pardon me, fund by fund by fund, okay? And there were specific questions asked to the accountant and the general manager. At the meeting last Monday, we got the answers to those questions and then just went over the budget in totality, and we didn't go through item by item. So to answer that question,
Can I have it a little quiet in the background?
As a general answer, that's the procedure we used. Mm-hmm. But I thought that we had adequate opportunity to discuss the concerns. The primary concerns were the ones that I listed in the motion, but I think the one item that kept coming back and back and back was the administrative allocations and the additional 2.5 FTEs that are added to the administrative uh-huh. staff. I think those were the primary two issues. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah. Okay. There were some solutions that were being listed off there, and I wanted to make sure that we were aware of any suggested solutions. So,
The primary thing, there was basically two options. There's basically two options available.
Mm-hmm.
If in a big picture, not micromanaging each particular fund item, but from a big perspective, you basically have two ways to cover these shortfalls. Either you're going to have to cut somewhere, And the one issue, like I said, that kept coming up and up again was the staffing issue, the 2.5 additional FTEs. Or the second way you do it is to reduce your reserves or take the funds from reserves to cover those costs. I mean, those were, and I'm not saying that anybody espoused them. The first one was the one that people discussed. Nobody espoused taking additional reserves to cover the shortfalls. And Michael, you want to?
Well, no, that's exactly right, because admin cost is equals to employees. That's what it is. And so unless you reduce, you know, the easy way to do the budget is reduce the admin costs and the allocations, particularly in some of these funds that are somewhat static. But the issue turns out is then you have
their reserves. And so what I mean by that is that we know that our current rate structure is not adequate. Please quiet. 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 Our current rate structure is not adequate, as you can see by the budget that's given here, right? There are a number of funds that aren't balanced. You fund reserves for times like this. We are going to go through a rate study where we hopefully will pass a rate increase so that we can then fund our budget in totality. So when you have times like this, you dip into your reserves. That's why they're called reserves. And then you meet your budget, and then you increase your rates, or you find additional funding, or you study more in depth any drastic measures like cutting employees and make those decisions later on. But for right now, what's in front of us is a budget, and for us to get through this budget, I would suggest reserves. With that said, we have a number of things that we are doing this year related to this. One, the rate study. Two, the FAC has been charged with to go over the administration costs in detail. So it's not something that we've recognized. It's not going to get done in a night. And so we have those two big items on the table to come next year. They're not going to get done in a night. They're not going to get done in one committee meeting. We have the FAC to look at that, and they might take a half year. I don't know. It's whatever they, you know, we have their talents. So in this time, I would encourage, I hope, this board to think about meeting these imbalances with reserves and have faith in our rate study and the people of Los Osos to pass that rate increase, and to have faith in the FAC to look at administrative allocation in more detail in the upcoming year.
Well, and I appreciate both sides, and I'm looking at the budget and taking into account the budget, the rate study, everything.
Hang on. I really would like the whispering to stop. People in the audience are turning their heads to see who's talking. Please quit talking. Please settle down. Quit talking. Please. Please excuse yourself. Go to the next room. We have this big, wide old opening over there. All you have to do is walk over there and whisper. Please. You are now warned, Ms. Tacker. Please. Please. All right. Director Moodhart?
Well, one of the concerns, and is what we're looking at for future expenses. I mean, it's not all budgeted for, I mean, in terms of our capital, what things that we need for our infrastructure and things. That's not here yet, but it's imminent and it's important. So we have to take a gestalt view of everything, I think, and start laying the groundwork for that. I mean, when you talk about full-time employees, you can't cut employees and say, oh, we're going to add 10 projects. You have to look at that as well. So if we're going to commit to our infrastructure and capital needs, we have to go all out, which puts all the pressure on rate studies, which is also scary to think of. So I'm just throwing that out as we deliberate through this.
I would respectfully disagree. I look at this year as a stopgap measure, so to speak. It sounds like everybody's trying to get the 100% home run going on with this budget, and we've already identified that we need a rate increase. We've already identified that the administration allocation needs some more fine-tooth review. And for us, it sounds like we're trying to hit the home run. Let's fully identify all capital projects. Let's fully fund all reserves. Let's take the anticipated monies that we have coming in, pay our bills, properly do a rate study, properly do a administration allocation study, and hit this next year where we now give ourselves time. But right now in front of us, we have X amount of dollars coming in, we have X amount of bills to pay, and if we have to dip in reserves to pay those bills, so be it. If we have to short not fully fund reserves, it's just for this year, okay?
$10,000, and that will decrease your admin by next year. Other than that, most of your other costs that you have are operational costs, unless you're having a capital project, which you are having several in water. That's why you have an increase of $90,000 in your capital outlay this year.
All right. Seeing no further comments from.
I do have one question, cool. Actually, on the 90,000 on account 9,006. That's the 90,000 infrastructure you talked about. I don't know what that's for. But this is not something that can be. This is imminently needed stuff that couldn't be funded out of the rate increase later.
Well, I mean, we can when we get to 500, the water fund, and yep. We have to balance it. That's a good question for when we
okay.
get there.
I will wait. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. Okay, let's talk about the rate study. Realistically, timeline, rate study, 218. What's the timeline?
Approximately 6 months. And the rate study is on, the request for proposal is out.
Thank you. Also, one other question. I know that you and Dale have been going through the books. And that's part of the mystery of what the budget is a product of. When do you have a hard date? When you're going to be done?
When we'll be done analyzing everything?
Correct. Isn't that part of the problem right now is that we have certain things that we're not sure?
That is absolutely correct. And every time we go to look up expenditures or we go to look at costs or we go to look at how items have been shown in the past and why they've been shown that way, we uncover more. And so that requires actually more analysis. So it's taking a little bit longer. It also took longer because the current financial system, even though it was bought in 2004, had not been used since 2005 and 6.
So the budget is a product of
that's right,
that and the missing information.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the budget is a product of the current of the financial system. We have implemented it.
Okay, Richard, you've been warned also. So, with that, let's review Fund 200, just take them in order, numerical order, and see how the board would like to balance that budget. So, with that, what was that? Page, where'd it
29.
Go? Page 29. Page 28 and 29. Okay, so again, Revenues are shown at $61,519. Expenditures are shown at $66,339. Any suggestions from the board of how they'd like to show that balanced?
Well, in $6,900, there's a $5,000 increase. Is that for a specific thing?
Margaret.
So on page 29, item number 6900, it looks like maintenance infrastructure. It shows 2 years of approximately $3,000 spent, and this year $8,000 spent. Is there a reason for the $5,000 increase this year?
Structure.
I don't know. So if we were to keep that constant with the $3,000 from last year,
yeah, that's fine. That's acceptable.
That's acceptable.
We'll make it work.
And so by changing Fund 200 Bay Ridge, item 6900, maintenance infrastructure, and lower it approximately 4747, is that what the number is? Lowering it by 4747, which then would be 30. Well
let somebody else. We'll input that.
Right.
You.
The fund will be balanced. Okay. The next fund to be balanced. Yes, sir.
Okay, never mind. It's acceptable. I was just, you know, I mean, there's another fund, account above it. I mean, I don't know. Anybody wants to consider taking a little from both or not? I'm not sure what, but I was just throwing it out there. But I guess we've already solved that
right.
problem, so I won't go back.
All right. So then, the next fund we have is Fund 500, and that is that's our water fund, and we're showing revenues of $2,093,800, and we're showing that's on page 45, and then we're showing expenditures of $2,161,720, and that's on page 49.
That's a difference of $67,920.
Okay, I have one question on as far as the expenses on 8610, which is electricity.
Yes.
That had a pretty substantial increase. I know the rates have gone up, but is that an estimate or is it an actual projection based on what we currently are paying?
It's a projection including the nitrate treatment facility, which will be online, right.
Okay, and then that, I think this joins in on that, too, is on 8644 disposal services. That has to do with the nitrate, the waste that comes from that plant.
Yes, thank you.
And that number is based on?
That's an estimate.
Okay.
That number, if I remember correctly, has been part of, I mean, that's been part of the proposal since the beginning. Have we looked at any specifics that that's going to be up or down?
No, we haven't at this time.
So, and what's the timeline on the nitrate removal project when it goes online?
October.
This October.
This October.
So to piggyback off that comment, so then that is roughly one quarter of the year remaining. So are we anticipating then in the year 2015, 2016, that our disposal cost will be four times this number?
I don't believe so.
Well, what I'm thinking about on this, too, is that we don't really know yet what
right.
it is, and we can, to help balance the budget, is reduce those and then address that at a mid-year budget adjustment.
Yes, you can do that. You,
as I propose.
That way.
I'm sorry. I went on the calendar year, not on the fiscal year. So October would, it's the other way around. So then we expect it to increase by 25%.
We won't really know what our costs are until the nitrate
right.
removal is online and we start getting the
right.
the bills.
Right.
And that could be part of the mid-year budget adjustment.
Yeah. So.
Yes, you could take $50,000 out of there, and just recognizing the fact that at mid-year you may have to adjust it.
Going down this road further, I mean, you look at infrastructure, it's 9,006. We are going from zero to 90,000.
Yes, that infrastructure is for. The additional 90,000 is 50,000 for the potential interconnect project, intertie project between Golden State and LOCSD, and 30,000 towards development permits for the 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well and possible Basin Management Plan Program C expansion considerations. Mm-hmm. That's what's being budgeted at this time.
How much was the Schedule C again?
It's $30,000 for the permits to go through the Coastal Commission. That's what we're budgeting. That's based on an estimate from Wallace Group of what their cost will be.
Director Wahilski?
The problem I have right now is the question that hasn't been answered wasn't the question that was asked at Financial Advisory Committee. Why did we hire 2.5 more positions? And I think that question needs to be answered, because obviously that's a big difference right now. So, we've got the staffing requirements today, which show additional 2.5 staff in the water company, 2.5 FTEs. So that's my question. I mean, it's the grill in the room, for lack of a better term. Why did we do this, and why do we have to do this?
Want me to comment?
I don't know. I don't know what the question is.
I do understand the question. However,
okay. However,
I was not here at the time, so I'm not sure why the board decided to go ahead and authorize the additional 2.5 staff people. I can't quite answer that. I can tell you, however, that you reduced your admin cost. And the two persons, the 2.5 persons you're talking about, work directly for the water department. One is actually your billing person that takes care of all your water accounts. The other one is a utility compliance technician that takes care of making sure that all of your reports get out and all your wells are monitored and probably a dozen other things. The other half-time person handles all the customers that come in and also takes in processes billing payments and answers the phones and does numerous other jobs around the office.
And if I understand this, these people were actually hired last year.
Last year.
And they didn't come full, they don't show up as a full-time number, a full-time FTE, because they only worked part year. So, for example, we have a 0.75, a 0.75, and a 0.25. They were hired last year, and then when you put them in as a full year of employment, you get an extra person.
That's correct.
So there wasn't actually an extra person hired. It's just that the people who were hired are now ledgered as
our full-time personnel. Yes.
Yeah, and I believe we're our 2011, we were at this number or very close to it. Because we lost some employees.
Right.
So, when I do the math, it seems like it comes out equal. Over 2010 or 2011, we were down employees, and then we brought it back up.
All I know is that this might have been true at 11 in 10-11, but all I had was 12-13.
I'm not following the question.
Well, we had. We lost two employees, and I'm trying to think of the year. So that was last year, and then we refilled those two positions. We reorganized, and so they have different titles. I don't see where we've added employees. We have the same number of employees we did in 2011, right?
We're showing additional 2.5 FTEs.
Because we were down at that point. And
I know. So I'm not sure I follow either.
So well, I'm doing head counts.
So if you're saying we were down in 2011 and we had 20 employees, then we filled those employees and now we're up to where we should be. So there's not an issue?
And when you look at headcount, where we were and where we are, we should be right the same
as
we were.
We are. And I'm sure if you were asked staff if they were working their tails off for the last 2 or 3 years, and that now that we're fully staffed and the staff is not working their tails off like they have been, I think, you know, just qualitative, but qualitatively, we are fully staffed and we're where we should be. Before we were understaffed and we had staff busting their backs.
We had a lot of overtime. We had a lot of stressed-out employees.
Yeah.
I know.
So the question
of
where does this come from? This comes from adequately staffed. It's always been our goal, such that we run on an 8-to-5-ish.
That's correct.
Type of day, not 8 to midnight.
All FTEs are not created equal, right?
No.
They're going to be at different steps and different base salaries. So, if I'm keeping the count in my head, we've trimmed 50 of the $67,000 needed to balance this water fund. Would a 0.25 reduction or a series of reductions adding up to 0.25 close that gap? Because, you know, it's easy to just say we'll subtract the employee, but, you know, then that unleashes its own can of worms. Especially with overtime, if they're hourly, it goes to time and a half or even double time if there's enough hours. So I'm not sure what we would have to do to get that to add up.
Well, I'm
anyway,
just
very
in general, I'm fundamentally against changing FTEs, because that is a person and that is a duty and that is a task that's done, and for it to be simply put on a ledger book, it's not that simple. There are repercussions that are so large that you can't really monitor. So I would strongly suggest that we don't look at the FTEs, instead look at other avenues for balancing this budget.
Might I suggest you have budgeted in week. We will know more as the project comes online. We have budgeted an additional increase in electricity. If we take the $50,000 that we're talking about out of disposal services, then all we need is $17,920, and we can reduce the electric bill by that amount, and we'll know more when we come back at mid-year if you need to increase it, based on the fact that the nitrate facility is online.
Well, I have another item I think that we need to talk about, too, that came up at FAC, and it's been discussed before, and it has to do with 7348, the Water Conservation Program. We have budgeted $30,000, and in reality, with the drought, we have conservation going on. We see that in the reduction of our production and revenues in water. And also, I think that in reality, outdoor water conservation is going to kick in once people start doing their laterals and they start redoing their yards. And then what I'm saying is that can come back next year as a budget.
That's
7348.
It's under other expense.
Other expense in water. Water conservation.
Which page?
Yeah. Page 47. Down at 7 on that side.
The water usage graph seems to be trending down.
So it's self-imposed water conservation. It's not like we have to tell people to turn their water off. They are because they're seeing their bills.
Well, that goes along with the fact that we have, a well-funded water conservation reserve right now, and we're not spending the money that's in that reserve.
Correct.
Okay, so
not speaking to this one particular line item.
Right. So we're not adding to it in our new budget. We just currently have that in there.
That's correct.
And we currently have a consultant search going on such that they might come through with other suggestions.
That's correct.
And they might need funding.
That's correct.
So maybe half of this rather than the full number.
7348.
Seven, yeah, page 47 near the bottom, 7348. Take 15,000 out of that.
Well, bear with me, but why not just cut the whole 30 and take the funding entirely out of reserves? I don't understand because best of my knowledge, we have spent none of our water conservation reserve money at all, ever. We've just been building up the reserve fund. Is that right?
We have a very small amount.
So if we need that for this consultant, then I'd rather spend it out of. Because why have we been stockpiling this money if we're never going to use it?
Well, I mean, one reserve, two reserve.
Well, that's the other thing. The reserve for this is this. If we go to the reserve designation sheet, is that 3167? Because it only shows that there's $25,000 in there.
That's correct. That's how much in there, and then you have $30,000 in your budget this year.
But we've been putting $30,000 in there for 2 or 3 years.
No, you did not put it in 2013-14. You just budgeted $30,000 for expenses.
We never actually got in there?
No. You just budgeted it.
Well, it's one way or the other.
It has not been spent.
Right.
If it's there or not.
So this is what we're going up against. I mean, every time we turn around, there's something else. You're just the messenger.
I'm the messenger here. Yeah, I'm trying to pass this on to you.
Well, I mean, we're 17,000 away from closing it. We could tentatively reduce 17,000 from 7348, and if we need 13 more, we can come back.
That's correct.
But
and you can then take it out of your reserve. Yes.
And that's what would happen anyway. So it's just a stylistic difference, I guess.
Okay. So have we resolved that?
Well, we did kind of get off what Marshall brought us back to the point about the FTEs. I just want to make sure that is everybody comfortable? I mean,
well, I'd rather take it out of conservation programs than out of somebody being laid off by far. We're not at that point where I think we really need to discuss if we're willing to knock off like the conservation plan, reduce the electrical, then I think we're in a good spot and not even deal with this at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite there yet, and I don't know what the numbers would be, but I think we found what we need to find for right now out of water.
Okay. All right, fund 600. So fund 600 is wastewater, page 54 and 55. It shows total revenues of $1,159,075, and it shows total expenditures of $1,198,022. That's a difference of...
around 37,000.
What's that?
It's around 37,000. 39,000, I'm sorry.
Again, 600. We're on page 600. We're on 600 wastewater.
55. Page 55.
54 or 55. So $39,000.
Question is, 9512 had no funds last time than it did in the mid-year, but what is that money, the inter-fund transfer?
That's the repayment of the debt, of the borrowing, the $25,000 that has to come out of administration.
Well, 25040, right. Where's the other 15?
Right. What is the other 15?
The other 15 is the balance of the admin allocation.
Please be quiet.
Could I just ask what, if we look at the reserves on this, maybe some explanation. Do we really have $2,946,000 in reserves?
No, your SRF money is listed there. Okay, that's a transfer out, transfer in. All right, that's why it's in there. As soon as the accounts are reconciled after the payment of the bankruptcy, that money will probably disappear.
Okay. And the account 3091, that's the one we're paying the $25,000 to?
I'm not sure. I think it's the redemption account that you have to pay that to, 3092, but I'd have to check that out for sure.
Okay. So we have, and then the bond reserve account. Okay. Was there anything specifically discussed on this at the FAC on this particular account, this particular fund?
Well, the basic idea was that all we're doing is taking in 25 and paying out 25. So why is there $15,000 worth of administrative allocations? Now, I understand part of that is because of the reconciling to bankruptcy checks. So, you know, who does actually cash their check, et cetera. But that, I think, was the Financial Advisory Committee's
correct
question.
Did we answer that question?
Yeah.
So, is there an answer to that question with the 15?
As I said, it was a portion of the admin allocation.
Portion of the admin allocation.
Yes,
why is it shown here? Why isn't it shown all?
It is. It's a transfer. Admin allocations are transfers.
I think we're using too many pronouns.
We have to do the, from each fund, we have to do the admin transfers in the same method, correct?
That's correct. So that on the overall, it balances and shows that there's, it's a zero.
Well, no, I mean the three different methods we're talking about, you can't mix and match those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a pretty short list of things, you know, that are possible to do here.
Well, okay, like one item here, 7310, bank service charges $7,000.
That's correct.
What bank charge is $7,000?
That comes, I believe, from the bank that handles the bonds.
Okay.
They give us a charge. They charge us.
Nice work if you can get it. Okay, then 4062, the wastewater admin charge. What is that?
Well, that's revenue.
That is your administrative charge that comes in for the bonds. That's the administrative overhead that's right now $3.50 a parcel.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, Director Storm?
Well, I mean, we don't all want to jump at once here, right?
Well, this one's kind of stuck.
It's, yeah. Well, I mean, what are the options? We can transfer something in from somewhere.
Right.
Because
that's
we have
correct
to show the administrative allocation in this compliant manner. So, I mean, it's rearranging things, but what are the ways we can rearrange things? We can transfer money in from a reserve.
You can change your admin allocation.
Well, that's what I was kind of getting at before. We'd have to change
everything. That's correct.
It's frustrating because this does seem like a special case with regard to the admin allocation. It's at least in the future going to be
away.
That's correct.
You know,
so can it come from general fund?
Your general fund is your admin account.
That's right. We'll just reduce it by $15,000.
We'll reduce admin by $15,000.
General fund.
What about, okay, talking about reserves? I mean, admin has general contingency reserve of $20,000.
That's correct,
right.
And you can use that because, as we discussed at a previous meeting, your administration, which is part of through your cost allocation, really should not have reserves because other funds are contributing to that, right, to establish those reserves.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's where it should come from.
So yeah. we have an admin reserve?
Yes,
right.
Previously.
Previously.
Right. Okay. That's where it should come from because this is just that case where, you know, it's that one-time case. And so that's where I suggest we bring it from.
So that's why someone suggested, you know, that's why you're talking like it's as if it were a general fund. If somebody, yeah, so it's not, right?
Well, your admin, the auditors, for audit's sake, the auditors call it general fund, all right? But in this particular district, we use it as an administration fund.
So
same thing, but it is a general fund. You can charge more costs to that you can't charge to other funds.
Okay. Right. So let's pull it from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that cover it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
That's fine with me.
Okay. That's where we'll take it.
Now then, it's solid waste, item 650, pages 58 and 59. It shows an income of zero, and it shows expenditures of $46,660.
So what do we need a reserve in a non-functioning service for? Do we just draw this down until we no longer have costs and then close it?
You have that choice as a board to do that, absolutely.
Well, I don't think we should ever close
you don't,
it.
Oh, no, the fund never... There's never, it's never closed. It'll always be 650 solid waste.
Oh.
For as long as the district operates, that will be the number that's associated with it.
We still have the powers. We just
don't have it. But right. From an accounting point of view, less than a legal power one.
Yeah.
For once in my life.
So, but we have used this money before for chipping days and a few other things like that. So.
Well, not that I like going to the reserves, but since it's, you know, I don't have a problem using reserves when you have a non-functional account, and solid waste does have $185,000 shown in reserves.
Well, there's still costs associated with it, right? Winding it down?
Yes. There, after this year, there should not be any costs associated with that.
What is the 46?
That's the admin cost.
That's the admin?
Right. Sure.
So,
Director Ohilski.
That begs the question that was asked by the Financial Advisory Committee that hasn't been answered. Is there any restrictions on this reserve fund?
That I defer to counsel.
I was told that when this reserve fund was set up, there were restrictions spent. Or
I don't know.
Set
might take research.
Generally, when you build up reserves in solid waste, you use them for. Generally, when you build up reserves in your solid waste account, you use them for solid waste purposes. You're not moving money out of your solid waste account by doing it this way. If you were loaning it to another fund, for example, to fund that would be you'd have to do it by loan. You couldn't just use it. But the way that I'm looking at it now, is we've got costs associated with that, and you're using reserves to pay for it out of the same fund that has the cost. And so I don't think that is an issue.
So we're going to pull out of reserves?
I'm just curious, will this cost go away?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And these are anticipated costs. We might find out at mid-year. That.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Got to keep that in mind.
Okay. So we'll balance that budget out of reserves. And then the last one is 800.
For the record, I'm opposed to that.
Okay.
Can you expand on that? Or?
I don't understand how we're taking money out of a reserve account, $46,000, and putting it into administrative allocation, and how you think that operating under an unbalanced budget by pulling money out of reserves balances next year. Because if you're looking at increasing water rates, you're not looking at increasing solid waste rates because we have no income. So I don't. It just seems you're going down a slippery slope here.
If I understand you right, this is similar to the last one. This is just a one-time expense. We anticipate the administration cost in the year 2015-16 to be zero.
Correct.
To waste water, I mean, I understand. That had to do with the bankruptcy. This has nothing to do with it. I mean, I don't understand what administrative allocation costs we have that are $46,000. I mean, what you're doing is you're taking money out of reserves to supplement administrative allocation. I understand that, and I'm just opposed to it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, let's staff the question. What was the 46 based on?
It's based on a time study that was completed based on what we're going to need to do this year to close the fund down. to resolve it and to answer all the questions that are in it. You're welcome to take a look at the time study. It's available.
Please, no comments. I mean, this is what our staff does. They have they understand their time demands, right? And our staff gets all sorts of external demands of their time beyond what we think is common from our community. And so it goes all over the place. We are not, you know.
But just to be clear, this is disappearing, right?
I mean, yes.
So this is a one-time expense.
That's correct. This is the final year.
And also, yeah, the 46 is an estimate. It could be a lot less.
That's correct. It could be.
All right. So we don't have to have a – there's no vote on that. That's just
You vote to approve your budget as amended.
Right. Okay. All right. So then – all right. I really need a quiet back there, please.
So how are we handling this? Is the last one? How are we handling
one.
This?
Last one is 800 drainage. It's pages.
Wait. Let's go back here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
How are we handling this overage and solid waste?
What do you mean, the 46,000?
Correct.
I thought we
have no. There's no income.
I know. So we want to pull out reserves.
Okay. Just want to clarify.
Okay. Very good.
Well, did we have any other designations for those reserves? I'm just trying to think. If there's anything we talked about. I mean,
again, that's the question that was raised: were they dedicated reserves or not? Nobody seems to know the answer to that.
I don't mean necessarily legally dedicated, but I'm trying to think if there was any other things we'd.
Well, that's the question. I mean, I was told, and again, I don't know because this is secondhand, that those monies were allocated and dedicated and put in reserves for chipping days, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know the answer to that. That's why I asked that question.
You know, if I need to repeat what I indicated, in terms of when you build up reserves and the solid waste fund, they need to be used for solid waste purposes, such as chipping days and those types of things. In this particular instance, you have an administrative allocation that is directly related, according to the budget, to solid waste. And so it's for the same purpose. Now, Marshall, I don't know that I have been a part of anything that said that there's going to be any dedication of these funds in perpetuity for particular purposes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, now you're seeing the high administration costs when the board say, I just don't see where these dollars come from, is that when these questions come up, our historical background is not clear, and our staff spends a lot of time answering these questions. And so this isn't a good example of where's that 46 going to come from. Well, it appears we're going to spend some time going through our records trying to figure out if we have got restricted reserves or not. So that's another example of where it goes above and beyond what we might think is normal operations because of whatever reasons our past is not well documented.
And just to be clear, a board in 2001 could not bind this board in terms of any decisions that it wanted to make in regards to the solid waste reserve. So the idea that there would be a specific dedication that would be binding upon this board is not likely.
That's right.
Okay. So,
in the future, when we don't have any admin expenses and we have $130,000 left in reserves, what are our options for those?
Well, I guess that's a to-do item for the staff to come up with a list of possibilities. I don't know if they can answer it right here and now.
No, staff is not.
But we can vote to transfer, or what are our options? I mean, I'm just.
Staff is not prepared to discuss that. That's one of the items that was on the policy for your direction this year.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Well.
Are we in agreement except for one? to.
Well, I'm in agreement, but it's an awfully big number.
Yeah,
as
I,
half
I
a
agree.
Person or,
an awfully big
you know,
number.
For a year to take care of that.
Yep, it is. All right. So, fund number 800, drainage, page 62 and 63. And this shows an income of $95,624. And it shows an expense, where'd you go? $85,338. So, that's roughly $10,000.
Positive.
Positive. Positive. Why are we on drainage? Why do I have it down here?
Because we have extra.
I don't know. Okay, I guess we're done.
You're going fund by fund.
Yeah. Sorry. Just
yeah.
Okay, so that would give us a balanced budget. Okay. For our incomes that we project next year. All right. We recognize that it does not fully fund all our revenues. Okay. But it is a balanced budget. Our dollars in equal our dollars out. And again, because it's been a while, we will be looking at rate studies. Please, 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 go next door. There's a big opening over there for you to walk through. All right. And and we will... now I lost my... train of thought. Yeah. So with that, I'll take a motion on the budget.
Okay. Well, somebody's going to have that written down.
Exactly.
No. As I understand it, the motion is to accept the budget as amended. Do we have to go through what the amendments are?
No, that's not necessary.
As long as staff feels that they have the information available to them.
Yes.
Okay, can we read them back just to...
check the order before we drive
okay.
through.
You want to read it or you want me to?
No, I didn't get it.
Okay, I'll read it.
I hear a lot.
Okay. Let me go back to this. All right. With regards, wait a minute, Bay Bridge, back up. With regards to the Bay Ridge Fund 200, we're going to remove the 4747 from in maintenance infrastructure 6900. With regards to water, we're going to remove. 50,000 from the disposal services, and we're going to reduce the water conservation program by 17,920. With regards to the solid waste, with regards to the wastewater fund, we're going to fund that from the administrative reserves. And with regards to solid waste, we're going to fund that that deficit from the current solid waste reserves. And those are the changes that you've requested.
Do you have a motion?
I move that the board adopt resolution 2014-2, adopting the final budget for fiscal year 2014-15. As amended.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Director Holsky.
Yes, I'm going to vote no on the budget, but I'd like to give my short explanation of why at this point. I have no problem with the basic concept that you guys came to a consensus on. And I would be in favor of this budget if we were doing an interim budget. But in my mind, there's just too many unanswered questions to adopt it as a final budget. So that's why I'll be voting no.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Well, I just would like to comment on Director Ohilsky's, because if I didn't hear you bring up many unanswered questions.
Any other?
Yeah, I'd just like to say I'm a short timer, but I'm hoping that if I'm still around when the next budget comes up, those really will be one-time costs. Because, you know, reserves, to me, like I said when we opened the discussion, reserves are for unforeseen and unforeseeable type costs, and you can't build them in structurally because then you fall apart. And we're going to need to keep an eye on this as it progresses, and I think we're set up to do that finally. And so I have a comfort level with this going forward. But I think something that we haven't really, that hasn't really come up in the discussion, but in order to do anything interim, or maybe I'm confusing interim and continuing resolution, but that was briefly discussed, that might cause a problem with the Schedule A payment for the fire department. As long as, you know, we're doing this with the understanding these are one-time costs, with the understanding that we're going to be keeping a tight, close and careful eye on all of this. Obviously, I seconded the motion, but that's what's going through my head when I did so.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to support it reluctantly. I do understand. I would have preferred to seen all the financial issues cleared up so we had a clearer picture. But I also agree with what Ron Eric is talking about, the Schedule A, because I know that Chief Lewin and Chief Anaris want to have this clean so it goes to the county without any issues. And that, to me, is overrides some of these number details. And, again, we do have the opportunity in a midterm budget to see where we really are. So I will support it, but reluctantly.
Seeing no other comments, I'd like to call for a vote.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Ohilsky?
No.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
With that, I would like to move on to public comments for items not on the agenda. It's 9 o'clock. Let's see what else we have. No action items. Seeing the late time, I'm going to take public comment and all comments from here on out at 2 minutes.
Wow.
And with that, first public comment.
My name is Julie Tacker, and I do live in Los Osos. And I'm going to piggyback on some of what you said and go into some other thoughts that I had. First, what I didn't see, and you're supposed to have done, was adopt the special fire tax in a public hearing, and it didn't happen. So I don't know how we're adopting a budget without the COLA and the CPI of the fire tax. You just rolled it on in without the benefit of the public, which that ordinance specifies. Little bit of history with the solid waste, and it was boards before mine that had goals of having a dump station at the wastewater treatment facility. They wanted to process paint and oil and electronics so that we weren't driving to Morro Bay or San Luis Obispo to handle those hazardous things. That's kind of what they were setting aside the goals, the reserves for. President Baltimore, you have this foregone conclusion that there will be a rate increase. Without the rate study, you don't know that. And you have to have accurate information to provide that studier. And these are enterprise funds, and when you do go to a rate increase, you have to tell the rate payer exactly what you're doing with that money. So it's not fluid and, you really need to be very specific, and I think you're a little too cavalier about it. Something else that I... Oh, my goodness. That 2 minutes went really fast. I guess I'll be back next month.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lindy Owen, wanted to find out how the combined meeting to look at the basin study and with LOCAC. I want to find out how that's going. It keeps being ignored. On the nitrate removal project, I would like you to consider looking into getting a solar panel array put out there. There's certainly space to do it, and we're whining about not having money to pay the bills, electric bills, so maybe we could move into the 21st century. And then the county adopted a pain plan, and I think it was a 7-year plan or something, on how to get through the budget. And so basically when people quit, they were not rehired, which of course puts the... It isn't a good plan, but our supervisor bragged about how he balanced the budget by doing that. So I urge you to consider maybe the general manager to half-time at some point in the near future. That saves you the $40,000. And please don't forget, we still have not discussed what the impact of losing $185,000 every year is. You keep shuffling it like it's some kind of little hide-it game that we... I mean, I think you just put it out front. There's $185,000 out of our budget because certain people gave it away in the bankruptcy, and it's gone. So we don't have enough to operate on. So we're looking at a future bankruptcy unless we do adopt a pain plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Keith Swanson, I just need clarification. The item just prior to this, was there not supposed to be an adoption for the revisions for the mid-year budget changes for 2013-2014? I did not hear that in the resolution.
Next speaker, please. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. Wow, Craig, you could be Bruce Gibson. 2 minutes. Well, that's really going to kill you guys for 4 more minutes of your time for a district that you have no clue. Again, I'll say it. I'll keep saying it till you get it right. You just approved $40,000, not a $15,000 draw from the wastewater fund. $40,000, gentlemen. $40,000. Did you even, any of you even look at the administrative general contingency reserve? It's $20,918. Really? That's your solution? You got staff, you got a general manager, doesn't know the difference between the bond reserve account and the bond redemption account? All she's been doing is telling us how she's been studying the $714,000 that was borrowed from solid or from wastewater back in 2006. It's all we've heard about. She doesn't even know those two designations. You haven't even come close to realizing the impacts of this budget, and you didn't do the revisions in the mid-year from last budget, the corrections. It's all going to come to a head. I'm telling you, you can sit there and be as smug as you want. By mid-year, you took $50,000 out of an $80,000 account in water. Where are you going to get that money when she comes back with a mid-year and says, oh, we need that $50,000 back now? It's easy to balance a budget. Hell, I can battle a budget just by picking line items and pulling money out. You don't have some of this money to balance this budget, and you don't have staff that understands it. Guarantee it.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Al Barrow, and I'm the concern has been for the last 15, 16 years a fiscally responsible district. This district is half of the district is a water district. The other half of the district is a private water district that charges twice as much. And the ratepayers on that side, the Golden State Water side, would be very happy to be paying the rates that you're charging your customers. 1,400 CSFs looks at over $9 for them and about a little bit over $5 for you guys. It's a huge increase, especially in the upper tier rates. So it's an opportunity for the district to take in twice as much revenue with a smaller staff. And what I'm saying is that the scale of running the whole basin would be cost effective. And there's some other issues involved. The fire department is not allowed to find out what the pressures are on the water system over there because they consider that private, privileged information. And so that's a health and safety issue that hasn't been resolved. It goes to safe basin management. And when you raise the rates like they do, they charge you for water conservation. So unlike the district here that does not do that. So to have a responsible management, you really need control of the whole basin. So I wish you would at some point look at that. We're working on bond council. We have three bond councils working on that cost. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing any other public comment?
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I guess there's a lot to talk about on future policy discussions, but I'd like to thank Ms. Kivley and her staff for their excellent work in delving into the money mystery and coming up with some answers at last. I recall former CSD Director Joe Sparks always going a bit crazy about how things didn't add up in the budgets and audits, and now I see Marshall going down that same path. Anyway, seeing that board resolution of May 4th, 2006, where two accounts were relieved of a total of $630,000 and were never paid back, that got me to thinking back to the ESAC committee meetings of 2007, where the missing fire reserves were a much discussed topic at the February, April, and May meetings. Where did that money go? A committee member at that time remarked that the money was still there, as noted in the minutes on June 30th, 2006. Former Director Tacker stated that General Manager Blesky didn't have the authority for some of the things that he did. One commenter noted that there was never any resolution approved by the board to take that money. Former Director Tacker said, "Money in, money out. You can only audit the things that you have a record for." I realize that our GM and staff has much more to do than detective work, and I hope that they, when they are able, they'll continue their quest to locate more of this mystery money, perhaps even that $714,000 that wasn't there to make the bond payment. I'm sure that would be of interest to many community members besides myself. As to where that money went, did it actually go to wastewater project studies? Or was it spent elsewhere? Was there a resolution or wasn't there? Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to close public comment and move to item 9, administrative and committee reports, and begin with the fire department report. Let him speak and then I'll take a break. Sorry.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, both here and in the TV audience, I appreciate the opportunity to come here tonight and talk to you about the April Chief's Report. Prior to starting that, you have two handouts in front of you that I've put in front of you. One is a press release, and one is a Safer Sterile Bay cert handout. I'd like to talk about these for just a quick second. The first press release was actually put out a couple weeks ago. This is for Camp Cinder. My guess is that each one of you, as well as our members of the public, know a young lady between 15 and 18 who may be interested in going to a firefighting camp. The camp is free of charge. It's here in San Luis. It's 4 days and three nights. What we're trying to do is start a camp. There's several other in the Western United States and internationally that are along these lines that focuses on females, focuses on getting girls into the fire service, and makes them comfortable with this process, the equipment, the gear, the life of a firefighter, and opens doors for them that allows them to be successful in the future. It's a very proactive camp. It's, again, it's free of charge. For those of you outside the and watching us on TV, the website is www.campcinder.org. It's sponsored by firefighters from throughout California and hosted by Cal Fire County Fire here in San Luis Obispo. Again, that that email address is www.campcinder.org, free of charge for young ladies 15 to 18. The second thing you have here is an Estero Bay CERT flyer. This is a newsletter that will be coming out probably quarterly, maybe monthly, by the Estero Bay CERT. We've been talking about that for several months. This is the very first flyer or handout newsletter. The next CERT class, next CERT training, will be here at the Sunnyside School at the Sunnyside Training Center for Cal Fire County Fire. The address is 800 Manzanita, and that class will be hosted on June 17th from 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. There's more information at Station 15 if you'd like to get more information. Finally, the hazard abatement inspectors are out this week. They've been up and down looking at the all the lots as we do every first week in June. I don't have any information on statistics and how successful they've been, but I know they've been out there, and folks without clearance should be getting letters in the next couple days. The second set of our second inspection date will be the third week in June. So, the April date, our April Chief's Report. In Chief? April, we went to 99 calls. It's right about average for what we do. Three of those were simultaneous calls, and all three of those required advanced life support. Of the 99, 61 were medical aids, 32 of those requiring advanced life support, four traffic collisions, and nine fires. There was some training that was documented in items four and five of this report that collimates the swearing in of the firefighters we did tonight. We did the first of two NRC evaluated county OES drills up at the station to test the firefighters to ensure that they can respond to a Diablo Canyon event. The second training was a couple weeks ago, and we were very successful in that one. You'll hear more about that next month. Continuing on the second page, one of the things that this board directed staff to do was to work on trench rescue and in preparation for the sewer project, which is now concluding. Now that we have a sewer project, now that we have lift stations and a sewer plant coming, confined space rescue is our next issue. And so we've been working with the two contractors to get confined space rescue props both at the fire station and at our training center out on Camp San Luis. One of the contractors has been very, very good at giving surplus equipment, pipes, vaults, and other stuff. And so my dozer transport has been coming over. They've been loading it for us, and we've been unloading it. And we've got a couple of vaults up at the fire station now. And so I anticipate in the coming years we'll have the same level of service for confined space rescue as we now currently have for trench rescue. We participated in a multi-company drill up at Hearst Castle out of the station with Morro Bay, Cayucas, Cambria, and County Fire, Cal Fire, on the 30th of April. It was a great drill. And we held a community-wide chipping event in cooperation with the focus group, the district, and the Forest Service and San Luis County Fire Safe Council. We originally planned a four-day chipping event. Actually, we went to 5 days because we had so much stuff in the district that people wanted to chip. It was free of charge. If we have additional money, we anticipate doing that in the future. That concludes my chief's report. Is there any questions I can answer for you?
Chief, I had a question.
Yes, sir.
You referred to Camp Cinder and applications, and the flyer you put out indicates that June 1st was the last day for an application. Has that been changed?
That has been adjusted. There are currently somewhere between 2 and 4 positions still open in it. I just checked with Engineer Danini tonight, and there's still room.
Okay.
So we will take additional, but thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you.
So we'll take applications till filled, pretty much.
Until we're full.
Okay. Very good.
No one gets turned away.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'd just like to take a quick 4-minute break just to stretch your legs. And so at 9:25, we'll start by the clock up there on the wall. Dot again. Thank you. And so is it 9:25 and a half by the clock on the wall? And I'd like to begin again with item 9B, Utilities Department Report.
Good evening, President Baltimore, Vice President Wright, directors, staff, and public. My name is Margaret, and I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Advisory, or excuse me, the Utilities Department for April 2014. And I did give you a handout on the Integrated Regional Water Management. I wanted to kind of touch on that quickly. There is a draft plan that will be released tomorrow, and it will be put on the county's website. We'll be able to have a link to it. I've been going to meetings for the past year and a half with the Regional Water Management Group, which is a subcommittee of the RAC, and we've been working on this plan. So there is a sub-regional meeting also that we're going to have, and that is on June 20th from 9 until 11 at the Morro Bay Vets Hall. And we encourage everybody from the public to come to this and, you know, give their input on this plan. It's a 700-page document, so you want to just kind of focus on our sub-region, our area. And the comments can be made to Carolyn Berg, who is at the county. The public draft is going to be the open comment starts on June 6th, which is tomorrow, and then it'll close on Monday, June 7th. So I left you some information and a picture of what the different subregions are, so I wouldn't have to read the whole thing. So anyway, as far as water for April, we got 16.4 million gallons of production. So that's a decrease from last year by approximately 23%. 43% of the service area was billed for approximately 14.1 million gallons, and that consumption for the period of March 10th through May 13th, that generated $128,784.61 in revenue. Now, this represents a decrease in both consumption and revenue by approximately 15% and 4%, respectively. On your report, you can see the well runtime hours and production comparison tables. The crews have upgraded and rerouted some service lines in coordination with the Los Osos Wastewater Project, and they continue working on valve maintenance program. The consumer confidence report has been mailed out. This is one thing we got done early. It looks like this. All of our water service area people should have been should have received one by now. It is a little early, but it's due in the public's hands by July 1st every year. So this will give you the water quality for the testing done in 2013. We also have this available on our website for those who want to see it there. As far as water conservation, the staff attended the Chamber of Commerce Expo with Director Storm and here at the Community Center on the 16th, and then they went to Farmers Market on May 19th. Staff will be at the June 16th Farmers Market. And as far as drainage is concerned, the crews checked the drainage facilities after there was a little bit of rain in April. They recorded 1.3 inches of rain for the month of April at the operations facility down at the yard. And this brings the yearly total from the beginning of this year to 5.98 at the water yard. So this concludes my report for now. And if you have any questions.
Any questions? Director Muto?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, Margaret. The Palisades well.
Yes.
I haven't really tabulated all of them, but it seems like we're still running that about the same amount that we have been for a while. I'm just wondering if we're looking at if we've got any opportunities to lessen the amount that well runs.
Yeah, on average, we're running at 4.7 hours a month. It's a bigger producer, so that's why you see the more production. But
right,
we can ask them to tone it down.
I mean, I think it's always been, you know, something we've wanted to do is to keep reducing pumping out of that site. So
yes, and we have increased Third Street as Department of Public Health asked for that.
Uh-huh.
As far as I can talk to the crew leader and see if they can manage that, turning down the runtime hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But chloride levels have gone way down, so that's a good thing.
That's good. And then, if you could refresh my memory, the upgrade to the service lines, what is that? Is that the new meters, or?
The service lines.
Service lines. So what is the upgrade on that? What is that you're that we're doing?
Yes, our standards are Schedule 80 or polyethylene.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the wastewater project, there was some conflict, and you have to be, you know, there's separation laws, and so they had to move some of the service lines to be out of the way of the wastewater project, and so at that time they upgraded them too.
Okay. So, and then I was going to ask about drainage. Have we seen any effect of our drainage facilities, you know, due to the wastewater project? Is there, or have we? Any negative effects, positive effects? We're getting, I mean, I know it hasn't rained a whole lot, so we probably don't have a lot of data, but I'm just wondering if there was anything that we've seen.
Well, overall, for the whole wastewater treatment project so far, we did have that one incident where they hit a transmission main, and luckily the Paso Robles and 16th Street pump station came on and was able to relieve a lot of that water that was running down the road.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they had to completely shut down the whole hydropneumatic zone and depended only on gravity.
Okay. But there's been no things, you know, no road work that has caused us to, you know, incur more water, more runoff, or sand in our drains or anything like that?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Okay, that's all I had.
Director Wright?
Okay, that reminded me, this came up at FAC, in regards to the extra costs we're incurring due to the wastewater project, you know, contractor mistakes. We're tracking that, and where are we in that process?
Tracking?
The extra costs, like, for example, we just explained, that should have caused an extra cost on that break.
Oh, just moving the service lines, you mean? Or?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that had to be done, but I haven't got those numbers. So I can get back to you.
Okay. Well, we might want to bring it back to the next meeting or something, a total.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know that it's been a few years in the ongoing, and we were tracking different incidents and things like that. We should probably start looking at how much the total is of that, what it has cost us.
So. Okay, so as I understand it, that's Director, the board would like to see, I guess, actual costs. How would you say that?
Well, the extra cost incurred due to the errors of the contractors in the wastewater project, and because we were talking about filing a claim to recoup our costs, and we need to know what that is before we file a claim.
Interesting. All right. Any other questions? No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is the general manager's report.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. My report's going to be very brief because, as you know, most of what I've been doing is budget-related. In addition to that, I've been handling your human resource issues, your risk management, and your insurance functions. And in addition to that, I attended two meetings. One was the county, a short attendance at the County Board of Supervisors regarding their growth management ordinance. And at this time, it's important to note that Los Osos is excluded from this ordinance. The second one I attended was the Central Coastal Commission. And the information that was presented there was an information item regarding potential cease and desist and notice of violation orders that were issued previously, and should that be considered at a future meeting. The direction from the Coastal Commission, as I forwarded to you in some information, was that they wanted it brought back in September for their consideration, along with other direction that they gave to staff. And finally, we received two statement of qualifications for the Water Conservation Public Information Campaign, one from Barnett Cox and Associates, and the other were from Verdeen, and they will be referred to the committee for selection. And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you. Any questions from the board? Dr. Ohulski.
Oh, just that correction. I think you said the Coastal Commission, you meant the Water Board.
Is that, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
With that, LOCAC report.
Oh, yeah.
Hiding behind.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you for staying in, please.
always fun. Thank you, Mr. President. And directors, thank you for your time. I'm here to report on the past LOCAC meeting. At that meeting, we had a report from the Sheriff and Highway Patrol. One of the general trend was that we had a reduction in calls for service. We had seven crimes against persons, including two batteries, five burglaries, and 18 thefts, and those are generally people leave their cars unlocked. So once again, lock your cars. Okay. And three drunk in public. In addition, Highway Patrol reported that they had three collisions, which one of them included a DUI, and then they had three additional DUIs, not collisions, involved. And generally, the town was fairly quiet, which is nice. Supervisor Gibson reported to us that resurfacing of part of South Bay Boulevard will commence this summer. He also mentioned, as General Manager Kively pointed out, I think, that the regional board is being asked to consider pulling the 33 CDOs, the cease and desist orders, and that's been taken under advisement. No action yet. Next, we had a presentation on June 26. This was from Department of Planning, Building, and the Energy Division there. On June 26 at 5:30 here at the Community Center, there will be, in essence, a workshop on how to reduce your energy costs. There will be some no-cost programs and low-cost programs for people who are income eligible, and other programs as well for others who are more fortunate. They're enticing us all to come join them because they're going to provide free food. So don't eat all that day. It's being sponsored by PG&E, Southern California Gas Company, and Cap Slow, so they get a few points. We had our we had a presentation again from the Los Osos Investment Group that wants to donate 2150 Pine, and of course they talk to us for our support, and then they're in contact with you all to see if they can work out some sort of swap of water rights and will serve issuances, and that continues on, but really nothing other than they're continuing to work on it. They mentioned a website, Los Osos Community Park. It's not a website, it's on Facebook. We did have some members of the community come to address us about a problem that's conceivably quite serious. The sheriff stayed around to listen to it, which was all to the good. Apparently at the skate park and also to some extent at Baywood School, from 12 to sunrise Friday nights and perhaps Saturday nights, teens are gathering and doing what teens do and some of the things teens shouldn't do. And there were reports of trading drugs and other activities. So if you all are aware of it or see anything like that, please contact the Sheriff's Department. They're going to try to focus on it a little bit more. Hopefully it's not a problem and people were agitated, but sure sounded like they had watched and investigated and had a real good idea of what was going on. There was a proposal from Pat Avant-Kern that was presented at LOCAC that we ask the county for a moratorium on drive-thrus in the community and for some help in preventing additional nighttime light pollution, and we're going to see about putting that on our agenda. And the final item really was that we seated Larry Bender as our newest member from District 1 and elected our officers for the next period, and they are Vicki Millage continuing as chairperson. I'll continue as vice chair. Alyssa Levine is treasurer and Carol Atkinson secretary. And with that, we had a very nice meeting and got to go home earlier than you all. And if you have any questions for me, I'm at your service.
Any questions? No. Thank you. Very good report, Dan, for staying.
You're very well.
All right, next report is the Emergency Service Committee report.
Okay. Yeah, we met on May 20th at the fire station. And on the our consent agenda, there's items that we discussed, the reaffirmation of the cooperative fire agreement, Schedule A. Just as a note, this year there was an approximate $62,000 increase over last year. But we're talking about almost a $1.7 million budget, so it's pretty modest. We also discussed, and it's also on our consent agenda, that we go ahead and authorize the purchase of a new Zoll heart monitor. But we have three, but one is no longer in compliance. It's failed its test, as it's old. It's old.
Just a quick question. We're required to have three.
We're required to have three for our size, yes. And so we had a presentation from apparatus engineer paramedic Teddy Borgia on that, and it's quite informative. Along with that, there's also an IZIO, I can't say this, intrusion. It's an injection system for intravenous into the bone, and we need that too. And we've got a pretty good deal because, you know, Phil's quite the shopper on these items. And the Zoll originally started off at 35, but we got it down to around 32 with Britain taking the old one back in. And also there was some savings on buying it as cooperative other fire districts. And then we also discussed the CPI increase. It's 1.86%. Came back to us, and due to a math error, we netted out an additional $1,200, and that's going to be coming back to us on our July agenda, I understand, for affirmation. And we also went over the budget, and there was an error in there in regards to the CSA 9I money, but that has been corrected, and it's corrected in this budget. So, and let's see, we also reviewed the fire department report, and that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Any comments from the board? Questions? No? All right, thank you. Utilities Advisory Committee report.
The UAC met on Wednesday, May 14th. Our first item was the emergency water shortage contingency plan update. We were given a brief update that our RFP for public relations was in the works, and you heard the update to that. Secondly, the committee was given an update on the outdoor water conservation program. Jason Zatt, our utility compliance technician, presented a draft outdoor water conservation plan authored by himself, Rob Miller, and Ron Munns. The plan describes conservation, describes several elements of conservation, and each element has a description and schedule and cost associated with it. This plan can be used by our staff and public relations firm to implement our conservation objectives. We will discuss the plan at our next meeting, I believe, and bring it to the board for approval. Committee member Munns also reported that his research showed that Golden State could voluntarily participate in our outdoor conservation efforts. Our next item was to review and update application for district service policy guidelines, also known as the WILSERV policy. The committee discussed providing a fact sheet with each application that describes the status of the basin at the, and the current status of the ability to process the application. The fact sheet would be updated regularly. The updates to this policy will be brought to the board for further discussion in our July meeting. And that's all I have. Our next meeting is Wednesday, June 11th.
Very good. Any questions on the board? No? Thank you. Facilities Advisory Committee report.
Financial advisor?
Yeah, facilities.
Caught you on that
one. Cal Poly, keep on. FAC.
I gave most of the report when we talked about the budget. It's just the only other thing that we discussed was that the committee did review the warrants and registers and recommended that the board receive and file that. And our next meeting will be June 30th, I believe, the Monday before. Yeah, June 30th. So anyways, that I gave the other report, so I'll just pass, and hopefully we can get out of here before 10.
Any other comments or questions from the board? No? All right. Next item is director's announcements of district and committee interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Director Wright.
Okay. I did attend the May 17th CAPSLO board meeting. In that regard, I think people have read in the press they are moving ahead with the purchase of the property with the RTA for the homeless center on Prado Row. Prada Road, and then also now with the passage of Prop 41, the reallocation of the veterans' bonds that occurred just Tuesday, they are going to be putting in for a grant for veteran homeless and prevention program. and there's $600,000 available on that that they'll be applying for due to that bond passing. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
All right. Any other? No. Seeing none.
Sorry, I do.
Okay. Dr. Moodhart.
Yes. Although I did not attend it, staff did attend the RAC meeting on June 4th. Items on the agenda were including the rain and reservoir report as usual, the Paso Robles groundwater as usual, and there was a presentation by James Caruso from the county planning where he talked about the following programs: plumbing retrofit, wastewater ordinance, water supply assessments, outdoor water use, water neutral new development, and no water export ordinance. No water export ordinance. And then there was also much discussion regarding the IRWM, and I think, and Margaret reported on that already in her report. I also attended the Chamber Business Exposition, and seemed like a very successful event. And that's all I have to report.
All right. Thank you.
I was at the Chamber Business Expo as well, as Leonard and Margaret both mentioned.
Very good. All right, agenda item 10, public comment. Is there any items that the board would like to pull from the consent agenda?
No. No.
In that case, I'd like to open up public comment for the items on administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. With that,
well, my name is Al Barrell, and again, I just wanted to make a brief comment.
We are not starting public comment yet. I just want to remind, because of the time constraint, 2 minutes. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
The public comes here to help you. We're here to help you.
Are you saying that
you can begin the speaker's time now?
Oh, am I invited to speak? Thank
yes.
you. I just want to make a comment about Leonard's remarks about the Palisades well over here. That well is not drawing seawater in it because they've changed the level of the draw. That was what we spent extra money to repair that well. That was part of, I think, last year's budget. So seawater intrusion is still happening in the basin. And I just wanted to make that clear. And I think your suggestion of trying to eventually abandon that well, they got five wells. So if we can get along without it, that'd be great. And I think you're trying pretty hard, Margaret, to avoid that.
Remember, address your comments towards me. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I first was looking for the request for an anti-fracking letter from your board. That was going to be on this next agenda. It's not here. In your warrants, Burden is getting paid, so I'd like an explanation. If you haven't awarded an RFP, are they under contract for some other work? How come they're getting paid? 11A is your receive administrative and committee reports. This is generally where we see the minutes from all the committees, and they're not here. Your general manager did not give a written report, which I never liked her written reports anyway, but her attendance at the growth management ordinance, just read the staff report and know that Los Osos is not included. Why spend any of district time at a board meeting? Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. I would have actually liked to have seen a written report that talked about the nuances of what was discussed there, and you don't have that. And it affects this community, and it affects this district, and it has for years. I don't think the woman cares about the community. The utility report, I'd like to see an update on the South Bay Well project. There's a lot of activity going on that site. Yes, much of it is Mountain Cascade. Are you being reimbursed for the use of that land? Where's that contract? Where's that permit approval? Where's any money changing hands? Certainly you should be reimbursed for the inconvenience that's going on over there. I saw a new tin building there that is ugly, and that's unfortunate. So there's more to talk about. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Keith Swanson. Still have not addressed the adoption of the 2013-2014 revisions of that budget. I remember the general manager stating in finance that they were tracking the time it took for the water department to respond to moving services, hitting lines, hitting mains. That cost the district money. It should be recovered. I brought this up before this whole project started, that we should be aware of that and prepare ourselves so that we can make claims, because some of them you may not be able to make. It's a government, it's a county project, so you have to make government claims. They deny it, then you go, they pass it on to the contractor. So I have 2 minutes. You guys totally missed out on the whole reason for the rate stabilization reserve is for when you have insufficient monies in the water department. You have $160,000 there, and that's what it's for. So I don't know how you missed that. And again, you guys taking money out of a budget that's making no money, it doesn't make any sense, and I agree with Mr. Ohilski on that. I wish I had more time. Ms. Tarnowski talking about the history and the mystery of all the money and the $700,000, $400,000. Resolution 2006-08 addresses that. If you look in the audit report from last year, it addresses that, where the $25,000 is coming from. And I also suggested in the Finance Committee meeting that, though I don't like the idea too much, is looking at the bond refi to lower the amount of money, but also addressed some ways to address some of the shortfalls and paying some back of that money, because it was wastewater money. There could be a debate on that, and saved 1 minute.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I really think it's unfair that you cut timing down to 2 minutes. We're all standing around here having a great time, staying up late, too. And you could have spent a lot less time on this budget if you'd ironed things out in your budget, your financial committee meeting. That's where this was supposed to be ironed out, and I still don't understand why we have two full-time people working on a budget, and it's been 6 months for, I don't know, doesn't seem very productive to me. 23% decrease in water consumption, it sounds like. I didn't understand what 15% and 4% revenue and consumption decrease were, but that sounds like a quarter of the income from our water budget is disappearing. You think it's going to get better as the summer progresses? I think our rate study needs to get underway, and I thought that we were doing it more in-house the way we've done it in the past with the fabulous volunteers we have that probably should be managing our district, but... and I too object to Ms. Kivley going to frivolous meetings. There's plenty of information available. It's all online. It's live. You can watch it while you're working on the budget. And then I also wanted to bring up the fact that we had to have a sheriff here at this meeting taken off the streets. We have a shortage of law enforcement on this whole coastline, and the reason for that was because you had somebody who was irate, who we all personally know wouldn't hurt a flea, come into your office. So we've created this, again, it's really nice to create this danger zone here that the people that come here, I mean, we normally, most of us are over, you know, 60 years old almost, but we're dangerous. Is that what you're trying to convey to the public? And I'm glad that they're back on the streets taking care of what they should be taking care of.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I guess I'll tie this into the finance report. I gave you a handout. I asked you to turn to the page in the fund analysis. Not one of you, especially the two members who are members of the Emergency Services Committee, neither of you, or no board member, asked for clarification of where $400,000 is going for the fire department. Really, gentlemen? Really? I'll guarantee you, this. I'll make you a bet right now. If my analysis is further away from the truth than that report was the truth, I won't come ever again and make a public comment. Guarantee you. That's how sure I am. And the one holy grail in this community is the fire department. Leonard, do you have any issues with
staff? No, me. Address me.
Oh, my God. Okay. Mr. Baltimore, I'd like to ask Mr. Leonard.
No, you don't ask him. You make your comment at me.
You don't have a clue on the Brown Act. Do you have any issue with them continually throwing the rate committee under the bus? You were part of that. 8 months. Name the qualifications that were on that committee. But Mr. Baltimore believes everything that comes from Ms. Kibley. You have hired two people. One was supposed to be interim, who are stealing from this district right now. Stealing their salaries from this district. Guarantee you, you by December are going to have some major financial issues that you can't blame on AMPI anymore.
Thank you.
Anymore.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to extend the meeting?
I was going to make two motions, actually.
Okay, make two motions.
First one was to extend the meeting past 10.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Can I have a vote?
Aye.
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 So moved.
Then I have a second motion.
Go for the second motion.
Moved to revise, or pardon me, revise. Receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
And I do have a comment on that, too.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion?
Just one discussion point relative to a public comment that was made that's kind of not really exactly on point, but I don't see how anybody on this board is throwing the past rate committee under the bus. I think that everybody on this board has expressed their appreciation to the past committee that worked on the rate study. So I object to that comment because I think the feeling on this board is unanimous that the last rate committee did an excellent job, and we were all very, very pleased with that. So that's my only comment.
Okay.
I have to agree. I don't feel like that we were thrown under the bus. We did a really good job, got us to a good point. We're just going on from there.
All right. Call for the vote.
Director Ohilski. Yes. Vice President Wright.
Yes.
Director Muthart.
Yes.
Director Storm.
Yes.
President Baltimore.
Yes.
Thank you.
With that, I'd like to move to the item 12, general action items. And item 12A, can I have a reading of the item?
Yes. Mr. President, members of the board, the item before you is a CSDA from the CSDA Board of Directors to update the bylaws. And it's brought to you because we are voting members of the CSDA. There are several changes. There are general cleanup items that reflect updates and organizational changes. There's clarifying language regarding the CSDA board nomination and election process. There's updates to various committee definitions and titles, and CSDA affiliate chapter clarifications. And this item is here for your consideration. And that concludes my report.
Any comments?
I would just ask if there's any other board members or staff or council if they have any recommendations, because I frankly don't have a whole lot of.
I will speak as the president of the San Luis Obispo chapter of the California Special Districts Association and say that as a countywide organization, as probably the one most versed in the what's before you, that we're supportive of the changes here, mostly as the general manager stated. Most of them are bookkeeping and cleanup type items where they change an uncapitalized P in president to a capitalized P in president. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. And then a clarification of what the affiliate chapters actually are, because there's been some confusion. I mean, we just became a formal chapter, San Luis Obispo County, a formal chapter of CSDA, and I think, quite frankly, we were one of the ones that triggered this change because we had...
There is an opening for an alternate member for the Finance Advisory Committee. According to the board's bylaws and rules of decorum, the president shall appoint the alternate public member for these committees. This particular term will expire in February 2015. There are two applications in front of you from members of the public who reside within the boundaries of the district for the FAC alternate member seat. Both applicants are interested in the issues facing the district, and they have a willingness to serve. This concludes my report.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say thank you for the two citizens who put forth their applications. Just cut to the chase real quick is that they were Al Barro and Louis Tornatsky, and I'm going to put forth to recommend... hang on. I can't put a appointment... Yep, okay. So with that, I'm going to go to public comment on the item. So if there's not any clarifying questions from the board. Nope, okay.
I know you're not going to choose him, but I do recommend Al Barro. He's committed so many hours of his, he's highly intelligent, and he can see issues that are complicated because he brings a history. He's watched this district be born, and I know that there may be some issues with some of his anger management at times, but I think that he is highly qualified, and I just want to put in a good word for him, even though I know that not one of you will pick him. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Yes.
Yeah, I think there's Keith Swanson. There's only one obvious choice here. it's just I at the last Finance Committee meeting, it was the first that I've ever heard of the dictative that the board members aren't going to participate in the discussion with the committees. I'd never heard of this before. This is the first I heard of it, and I don't understand that because I think that's where you guys are supposed to say, hey, well, this is how we may be looking at it or so on. And so it's kind of a surprise to me that that it never happened before until this past meeting. So, and I know Leonard, you know, he's always involved in the discussions. I mean, it's a very productive thing to do. Instead of standing back and watching the committee members, you guys are the ones involved. You're the ones that are making the decisions. So, I welcome another committee member. It's good to have another voice. I volunteer because I'm not here to criticize you guys. I'm here to try and figure out solutions and work those things out. I'm not your enemy by any means whatsoever. And I think hopefully that's going to be the case here. Instead of taking one side or another, that's never been my position. It's just that if I see something that I feel is wrong and I think there's ways that we can correct it, that's why I'm on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, we know who you're going to pick. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. I just want to comment that at the last Finance Advisory Committee meeting, Mr. Tarnowski was there. Didn't have a packet with him. Didn't follow along in the discussion. I guess maybe he knows it, has it all in his head. or the belief that, you know, there's no issues in the district. But I would think that somebody who's coming onto a committee would try to gear up and gain as much knowledge as possible. When you looked over and he was just sitting there when there was a packet available or everybody else had a packet, didn't join in the discussion and made no public comments. So I hope we're not getting somebody, you know, in the same mold as his wife, who everything in the district is hunky-dory and, you know, there are no problems. And Ms. Kively, you know, she's complimented you numerous times. Don't take that as so much of a compliment. She also thought Susan Morrow and Mr. Gilmore and Anna Jane she stood at this microphone and complimented Ampi repeatedly over the years at the great job and all the overtime hours she was putting in. It's amazing how it's easy to jump on the bandwagon, off the bandwagon. But we know who you're going to pick. We'll just see how it goes.
All right. Any other public comment? Seeing none, bring it back to the board for discussion. So, any discussion?
Well, just a comment. I just, you know, want to thank the people that applied, the two gentlemen, and I think that it's good that we will have a
nomination of Bernoski.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on the item? On the motion, sorry.
I'll support him despite the fact he graduated from Ohio State University.
Marshall, the one question that we didn't ask, Dodgers or Giants? Or do you have another team?
Do we need a vote on it or just...
Yep.
Okay, do a roll call vote, please.
Director Muthart.
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Next item on the agenda is future items for the agenda. Do I have any suggestions?
Well, we discussed it briefly during the utilities report, and I think we've talked about this, and now that the road construction is winding down, I think it's a good time to have us see what the actual costs were over the time and then possibly proceed with a claim against for the damages.
Just to clarify, is the July meeting kind of full with
yes.
So can you, with which items?
You have a lot of public hearings because you're moving, it's a huge public hearing because you're going to have to place everything on the tax rolls.
Right.
And so that's the time that you'll be doing that.
Well, yeah, in that case, I mean, August would be fine.
That would be very nice. Thank you very much.
Okay. So is anything pressing, realizing that in July we have a lot of administrative public hearings?
Not, this isn't pressing, and maybe it's not even... For us, maybe it's a fact, but I'm interested to hear about, it was brought up about the 2013-2014 mid-year budget.
That was in your resolution this evening that you adopted. That was all part of the same resolution. You adopted the new budget, and also in that when you adopted that resolution, you adopted the mid-year adjustments.
Okay. I want the... go ahead. I'm sorry. Did I, Director Muthart?
No, I thought.
Okay. I just want the board to keep in mind that, again, on the public hearing memo from staff, is that there's a number of items there about policy that they may want to bring forward on the agenda sooner than later. So, unless I don't hear otherwise, we'll just work that into the yearly agendas. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. And so with that,
we did not adopt, we did not adopt the mid-year adjustments because, because Director Storm made the motion and that was not included in his motion. I want to get that on the record or understand.
No, you adopted resolution number 2014-02. That's what you adopted this evening as when you adopted your budget. That's what you said to adopt the resolution.
As amended. I'm just trying to clarify.
As amended.
Right. So just...
So it's in the resolution, but it was not in the motion?
No, it was in the. It's in the resolution, but it's not in the motion.
Motion.
That's
is
correct.
To adopt
the resolution.
As amended.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
It's in yes.
The I just want to clarify that so there's no confusion down the road.
Is this something we need to clean up now, or is it...
I think it is cleaned up based upon the discussion that you just had. I don't specifically remember how Director Storm made the motion, but if the motion included the resolution, then it's covered.
And just out of curiosity, is maybe belt and suspenders type thing, or I mean, but if we say it's covered. I just don't want it to come back and say something.
I mean, even though I voted against the resolution, I mean, I just want to make sure that that's correct. That's all I'm.
Okay. And so then with that, closing board comments. We'll start with Director Ohilski.
Just really quick for the rest of my board members and the general manager and the attorney, we do have our California chapter, or pardon me, San Luis Obispo chapter CSDA meeting on June 20th at the Wallace Group from 11:30 to 1. It will be our annual report from Jim Erb on the property tax revenue projections for the upcoming year. So RSVP with me. I hope to see all there.
When again?
20th, 11:30, Wallace Group.
Director Storm? Any comments? No? Director Moonhart?
Yes, I'd like to thank staff and for all the work that's been put into this, to our financial.
June 26th through the 29th here locally, and it's to help them see what firefighting is about. And so please, you can go to campcinder.org, and there's 2 to 4 positions still open, so we encourage all high school girls that are interested to apply. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to actually do one, I guess, one administrative thing, and that's I'd like to appoint a board ad hoc committee of Director Storm to investigate possible, probable funding for Parks and Recs, meaning that we're kind of, you know, I consider July 1st to be a clean slate, move forward. We got a lot of things behind us or getting behind us, and so let's see what other sort of possibilities are out there for this community. So ad hoc committee of Director Storm and Parks and Recs.
Thank you.
With that, I'd like to close the meeting.